Reader, please, for our second reading, the last chapter in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 36, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near, and spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, The tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahla, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I don't know about you, but and I know this is the infallible and inerrant, inspired word of God. This chapter or this book seems to close not with a bang, but more with a whimper than anything else. And yet, if we would think about what is being said here, it is much wider in its moral application than simply the societal application to Israel in that day. So let's talk about that for a moment. Let's set up the circumstance so we understand what's going on here. Remember that every one of the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, had tracts of land that belonged to them. And then there was the 13th tribe, the tribe of the Levites, that actually did not have any set tract of land, but in every one of those 12 tribes, they had cities, 48 of them total, that were indeed belonging to them. All right, so these tracts of land then represented the inheritance of that tribe. Now, we're going to talk about inheritance in a moment, but when we think of inheritance, think preservation. And I want you to understand that as we move forward, because that's the moral quality, the everlasting quality that applies to all societies of all times that's being taught here in Numbers 36. All right, so there were five daughters. The dad's name was Zelophehad, and he died during the wilderness wandering and left no male heir. And so they had already come to Moses a few chapters back, and they said, what happens to our father's inheritance? Do we lose it? Is his name lost in Israel? Well, because the land was a type of their eternal inheritance, and see Hebrews chapter 11, verses 10 through 13 and verse 17 for that, there was this typological relationship between the heavenly inheritance and the land. And so for a name not to go on in Israel, well, it was more important than simply no more name. It was typologically connected to their heavenly, their eternal inheritance. Abraham understood that, Isaac understood that, Jacob understood that, and the rest of the children of Israel did. And so the daughters of Zelophehad had come to Moses, and they say, what's going to happen with that then? And Moses says, I don't know. Let me go ask the Lord. And he does. And when he returns from his conference with the Lord says, no, you five daughters, you will inherit because there's no male heir. You will inherit. Okay, so that's squared away. Put a point in it. We're done. Not so fast. Because now in this chapter, the men of Manasseh, of whom Zelophehad and the daughters of Zelophehad are, say, okay, well, here's what's going to happen. Our daughters are going to marry other tribesmen in other parts of Israel. They're going to go and they're going to live with them, and the inheritance of our father then will follow them into that other tribe, and it'll be owned by that family name. And so there will be no continuation of the name. And so the last estate will be the same as the first. Is that really what we're supposed to be doing here, Moses? Notice that it does not say here that Moses went to the Lord to ask him like it did before. Because it's reason, it's logic, it's understanding that if the land was not to pass out of the inheritance in the five daughters, it certainly is not to pass out of the inheritance by them marrying and taking that inheritance somewhere else. And so Moses does not need a conference with the Lord. It is good reason, it is good inference from what was done before that Moses says, nope, here's what's going to happen. They must marry in the tribe of Manasseh so that Manasseh's inheritance does not end up being diluted and sent to other tribes. Okay, that's a great solution. Everyone's happy. But let's talk about that for a moment. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, in the chapter of marriage and divorce, remember that there are four reasons given for marriage in paragraph 2. Was that 24:2, I guess it is, right? So, first of all, it's for the mutual help of both husband and wife. Mutual help. Remember that when God first established marriage in the garden, Adam looked around and said, man, I got a lot of work to do. And I don't have anybody to help me. And because I don't have anyone to help me, I won't have any children to help me. This is not good. And that's the only, you know, that's the first time that we see anything in that original creation that was not good. And actually it was the Lord that said it wasn't good. And so he created a helper suitable to Adam. I may have said Abraham earlier, I meant Adam. Every time I said Paul, I meant Aristotle. So you have this understanding then that in the garden, Adam looks around and he says, I've got a lot to do. I've got no one to help me. The Lord says, now you do. And from that union, there will be children and they will help you. And they will carry on that help generation by generation by generation. So that's the first use of marriage. Second use of marriage, according to the Westminster Divines, is for the furnishing of humanity with a legitimate offspring. We don't talk like that anymore. We are so messed up on marriage, we have no understanding of that. We don't know what the Westminster Divines are talking about when they say a legitimate offspring. Think of legal heir. And when you think of legal heir, then click, 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 start thinking of preservation. This is what we're talking about in Numbers 36. We're talking about preservation, the preservation of an inheritance. But what is the preservation of the inheritance that the Westminster Divines are talking about? And please, don't exhaust it in property. It's the preservation of property, sure, but it's the preservation of wealth. It's the preservation of knowledge. It's the preservation of custom. It's the preservation of culture. It's the preservation of all kinds of things. And so marriage is meant by God to inculcate that kind of preservation, that kind of passing on, a true inheritance, not just an inheritance of property, but a family-to-family inheritance, generation by generation, maintaining the same kinds of customs, maintaining the same kinds maintaining and advancing in knowledge, maintaining and advancing in wealth. And when we do away with inheritance, and when we do away with the concept of a legitimate offspring, we are simply moving backwards toward the destruction of society rather than the preservation of society. And then the third use of marriage, the Westminster Divines tell us, has to do with the furnishing of the church with a godly seed. And so there is that next aspect, which is not just a worldwide advancement under God, but a church-wide advancement under Christ the King. And so, as Christ is the head and King of the church, so also there is the passing on of the faith, the bringing of the children to church and raising them in our most holy faith, that they may take their place as the pastors, right? As the mothers in Israel, if you will. And then the fourth reason, and of course, according to the Westminster Divines, they put these in some kind of order. It's the prevention of uncleanness. Of course, we've elevated that to the top in our society, and then we've done away with marriage altogether. So those four things. But notice how in close connection those are with what's going on here in Numbers 36. Because if the inheritance passes out of Manasseh, Manasseh is going to be diminished. Manasseh is not going to advance. But the point of marriage is that the society, the church, every good thing should be maintained through a proper sense of inheritance, of passing on, and through advancement. Not just the reinventing of the wheel generation by generation, but the bequeathing of knowledge and the bequeathing of custom and the bequeathing of such things as makes for an advancement age to age, generation to generation, instead of a decline. This is Marital Counseling 101. This is where we begin. All right, thus ends the reading then of Numbers chapter 36. Next week, Lord willing, we begin this wondrous book of Deuteronomy.